And it's time for Food Talk. I'm Marianne Myers. I'm here in the studio with my fabulous co-host, Linda Perkins. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning. I'm going to sing.
Uh-oh. Well, wait a minute. First of all, you need to... No, I mean, hold the phone.
No, don't.
You need to... assure us that you're wearing, you know.
Oh, I got my apron on.
Thank you. Okay. And so?
I'm in the mood for gloves simply because it's winter, darling, because it's winter. I'm in the mood for gloves. Oh, the phone's ringing.
Uh-oh, so early.
Do you
this
think
bodes
it's an
Ill.
Offer?
I'm sure that the girls outside will take a message. Oh, yeah, yeah. It isn't really glove weather yet because it's so stinking warm. What the heck?
I know. It is really nice. Yeah, there were bugs outside when I let the dogs out a couple nights ago. I was shocked.
Yeah, it's weird. It's weird. Like, I don't know. We have lots to worry about where the weather is concerned. What have you been cooking?
Well, did you make anything for the Super Bowl?
No.
No.
I should have made a reservation, but no.
Yeah, I suppose it'd be really not busy out there.
I made dinner, but I took the lazy way out, which is I, you know, made a steak for my fabulous husband.
Oh, I think there's an awful lot of people who would welcome that kind of lazy.
Well, I mean, because it's so easy and you don't really have to think and you can make dinner in 10 minutes. So, yeah, a salad, a steak, and a baked potato, I'm done.
Well, I made, it was sort of like, you know, Super Bowl 101, beef skewers and chicken wings. Woohoo!
Wow.
Yeah, but it was fun. Did you watch the Super Bowl at all?
Tom did.
Okay. There was one part where the Patriots quarterback, what's his name, Tom Brady, where they passed the ball to him, but he dropped it because there was too much pressure. Ba-dum-bum. Super Bowl joke. Okay, it's a cooking show. I'll stop.
It's a cooking show. Wait, so how often we forget. Hey, you know what I'm doing besides cooking? I'm starting to weed out my kitchen.
Really?
Of unnecessary, unwanted, how do I even have this silly thing of stuff?
Oh my God, because I am just the opposite.
No, I know. I shouldn't even be telling you that because you'll back your vehicle up to my house.
No, that's not true. No, it's the UPS vehicle. So he came a couple days ago. So I think Saturday. So on Amazon, well, I have seen, you know, I have a KitchenAid mixer and by I mean several. So I have four KitchenAid mixers. And because I do a lot of baking. So I always look at the KitchenAid attachments and there is this one that I always thought was stupid. It's a food processor attachment. Have you ever seen it?
No.
Okay. So it's the size of a regular food processor. It's more money than a regular food processor. And you stick this big giant, and so it's just as much room to store as a food processor. And you stick this giant clunky thing, you fasten it into the front of your machine. So your KitchenAid motor essentially just drives this food processor. And I'm like, that is so stupid. Why would anybody want that? I mean, anybody, I would think, no, that's not true. But many people who have a KitchenAid mixer would also have a food processor because they do a decent amount of cooking. And those are two really, really useful tools. So anyway, then, I just pshawed that and put it out of my brain. And then the other night I was looking through to see if there are any KitchenAid attachments, you know, because I do that the first of the month every month.
And because you don't have them all already.
And it had like a 4.8 star rating with 717 reviews. What? How could that many people want that giant thing hanging off the front of their machine? And do you know what it does?
You ordered it, didn't you? And you got it.
It dices.
What?
Yes. There isn't a non-commercial dicer. And by commercial, I mean, do you want a house? Do you want a car? Or do you want the dicer? I mean, you know, and they're about as big as a house or a car. There's just nothing that dices. And I don't mean like the little choppers where you get a bunch of, you know, random shaped things. I want little squares. And I spend so much of my life chopping up little squares and just trying not to cut my fingers off, you know, and it dices. It's amazing. It's so fast. So for things that, and I do a lot of dicing. I really do. I dice a lot of potatoes. I dice a lot of tomatoes, and it does tomatoes just fine. So for things like salsa, onions, I mean, how many onions do I dice?
Wow.
I know. And it just goes brrr, And it says, okay, if any of you have a KitchenAid mixer, it says, hook the thing up and set the speed to 10. What? No, we don't use that speed. It's dangerous. And that's just how fast it dices. Just seriously. Brrr. Oh, so that's what's exciting in my life.
Wow.
UPS truck. Not the drive away truck. What are you finding in the recesses of your cupboards?
Well, I mean, I just started... because I'm going through my whole house getting ready for a gigantic shared yard sale as soon as the weather breaks this spring or summer. And
August 23rd.
So, yeah, exactly. We'll have a Labor Day weekend sale. And so I have, you know, I started in the bedroom and then I went through my office and now I'm up to the kitchen. And I started in my pantry because I have that butler's pantry kind of thing going on in my kitchen. And I had, I would say, several hundred canning jars. I mean, seriously, I had so many canning jars, and I quit canning, like, after the first time I canned in this house. I was like, what? I do not have a family of 10. Why am I why am I making 87 quarts of pickle beans? Gosh. So... yeah, I've gotten way over that, but I still had all these jars, which we could use at the Food Web. So, I ran them all through the dishwasher and boxed them all up and loaded them in my car. And that liberated all these shelves on my two bookshelves where I keep my cookbooks. And now I have all this space. And you know what happens when you have space
you
for cookbooks.
You fill it up. You get on Amazon.
So, well, I went to Lucy's.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, no, I was thinking for things, for books. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I went down there and Lisa has some pretty nice cookbooks and I got some new ones. But
she's a good cook.
Yes, she is.
Yeah, she could have a bookstore or a cook store.
She could. So anyway,
we call
so that's
restaurants.
What I'm working on. Yeah, that's what we call them, restaurants. So I'm getting rid of stuff and it's really liberating. I love getting rid of stuff. There's no reason for me to have 87,000 mixing bowls. There's just no reason for it.
Yeah.
I don't use them.
Yeah.
So I'm going to get serious and get that stuff out of my house and make it go to somebody else's house because you know how we are at garage sales. So.
Yeah.
Yep.
You buy my stuff, I'll buy yours.
Exactly. I trade stuff. I said to myself in the process yesterday, I said, you know, I could just invite Linda over and then it would all be gone because I know there's nothing that works and that's functional in a kitchen that you wouldn't make room for, I'm pretty sure.
Aw. Well, yeah, and canning jars take up so much room. That's the story in my basement.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They do. But they're useful. I kept two of each size.
Oh.
Just in case. Just in case I lose my mind.
That's not losing your mind. Two of each one.
I'm keeping spices in them. So what have you been cooking?
Well, a lot of soup, just because it's winter. And I really like soup. And you know I make bread all the time. So soup and bread, it's just so easy and it's good. I made a sandwich that I liked. And my friend Diane brought me a sandwich from Zupan's in Portland once.
Yep.
And it was brie and cucumbers and I think a balsamic tomato jam. I had some fig jam. I put a little balsamic in it. And then brie and apple and arugula. And that was really, really good.
Ooh.
So, there was arugula in that other sandwich. And just I had never done brie and arugula before. And with something crunchy and something kind of sweet, it was really good. And I just didn't have a cucumber or balsamic tomato jam, you know?
Yeah.
So it was a good sandwich.
Oh, one of my favorite sandwiches is... sautéed or roasted eggplant and red pepper and chev.
That sounds really good. I've never
really good. And then you make it like a grilled cheese where you just toast it on either side in a sauté pan. It's really good. Like that other one. It's savory and sweet and really the perfect combination.
You know, bread is really important for a sandwich.
Yeah.
Because it can't be too... That was one thing about the cucumber rather than apple or pear in that sandwich. The cucumber is so watery that if you have a bread with a tender crumb, it just dissolves.
You can't pick it up.
Yeah. And then, but if it's too hard, it's just hard on your mouth. And if there's too much bread, that's gross. Like if it's a giant bun, I don't like that at all.
Texas toast.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Dagwood. America. But it's, hard to find a good bread. That one at Blue Scorcher, that harvest wheat or
yeah.
But I didn't know they only make it Tuesday and Friday. Did you know that?
Yeah, they have a baking schedule posted there.
Yeah, I think because I often go there for like a Friday date, you know, and so I'm there Friday. And so then I think they have it all the time because it's there. But
yeah.
No, I didn't realize that. That's really good, I think, for sandwiches.
Your bread is really good for sandwiches and for garlic toast for dinner.
Well, and the thing with sandwiches, though, and thank you very much, is it's really hard to slice it thin enough that you just don't have that giant, you know,
wad of bread.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And so for that reason, it's okay if it's kind of stale, but then you got stale bread. Yay, it's thin enough. And it's stale.
Yeah. I do really like ciabatta for that reason.
Yes.
Because
yes.
It's the right consistency for sandwiches.
Yeah. Boy, they have a good ciabatta down there at that sea level
do
bakery.
They?
Yes. Ciabatta's hard to make.
Yeah, I've never tried.
Yeah, because like it's like a whole chapter in the bread book. There's like 37 stages.
Focaccia,
yeah.
Very good for sandwiches.
Yeah, a lot
and
easier
to
make.
Yeah.
Just spread out some bread dough and go at it with your fingertips.
And it's another really good one for just garlic toast with dinner. Mm-hmm. But I kind of like garlic toast for every sandwich. Like I'm big on just making some garlic toast and then building a sandwich.
But it makes anything if you're having especially like a roast beef or a roasted vegetable, something that's roasted, if you put it on garlic toast instead of just bread or just toast, it just adds a whole nother layer of flavor, because how much more do you like garlic toast than you like just bread? And it amps the sandwich up that much. It's a really good thing to know.
I think it is too. And I think it's pretty all-purpose, and I don't think that mayonnaise is so completely across the board functional. Mm-hmm. It's really important in certain kinds of sandwiches, mm-hmm. but not in every kind of sandwich.
And if you're making sandwiches ahead, it really helps if you butter the bread. The reason is a moisture layer or a moisture barrier against things soaking into the bread.
I really like the flavor of butter at least on one half of the bread. In a sandwich, you know, and whatever else you're going to use for a spread on the other. But I really like a little butter, especially like in a roast beef sandwich or something. I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
It's just delicious. And apparently in a roast beef sandwich, there is not enough cholesterol and you need a little butter to top it off.
It's good to have goals.
Oh, gosh. I think ideally, in a perfect world, people talking about cooking would be really, really, really health conscious.
Yeah.
I'm conscious of my health, but it doesn't inform my diet, for sure. On that note, I would like to remind everybody that they're listening to Food Talk on Coast Community Radio, KMUN Astoria, KTCB in Tillamook, and that Food Talk is a co-production of Coast Community Radio and North Coast Food Web.
Now, what is the only thing I ever talk about? Vanilla.
Oh my gosh. And we need the
price
update.
I know.
This is going to be the tragedy portion.
On public radio, we're not supposed to talk about prices. Like, I can't say, oh, I've got a new business. I'm selling bao. It's Linda's bao picker and it's this much money. Just making that up. So, you know, we can't talk about that. But if the price is the news, can we talk about it? I don't know either,
although we have recently really been cautioned not to promote businesses specifically.
Yes, yes.
So we need to quit saying things like Amazon and Scorcher.
Oh, I'm so sorry about that.
And we need to not talk about money, but we can talk about like boatloads of money without being specific, because that's what we're talking about with vanilla right now. And why is that?
Because it is just so much money. Can I say how much it was like straight line for 10 years? And it is not like for 10 years, you could go to a big box store and get a pint, 2 cups, 16 ounces of vanilla for $6.79. Remember? And that's what it was for 10 years.
That's pure vanilla.
And it is more than 8 times that now. Oh my gosh, it is just insane. It's gone up $8 in the last month. And so for the first time, vanilla is more than $1 a tablespoon. It's just, and that's the cheapest by far. The restaurant supply store is always about $15 more for a bottle above. Oh my gosh, above the big box store. It's just crazy. And so I thought I would go online and look at the site that I go to look for flavors, like if I want maple flavor or orange oil, you know, the place that sells all that. And for the first time, vanilla is more than I always thought that their bottle was less than that. And just the pint bottle of just all the regular extracts and oils is now like $5 cheaper than vanilla. Vanilla is so expensive. It's just, and I use so much of it in baking. And so then I was looking at the, and this was such a shock to me, and probably not any of you because you don't bake anywhere near as much as I do, but baking life. So then I was looking at all the other extracts, and they've always pretty much been across the board the same price, you know, but now they're wildly different, and some are insanely expensive. And it's not just like, look, vanilla can do it, I can do it. Do you know what it is?
No.
Vaping. Oh my gosh, vaping. Those teenagers.
Well, on the upside, they've just discovered that vaping is like hugely detrimental to your health. How fabulous for us who want extract.
Well, and that's going to stop them from buying extract or vaping. No.
No. But also, why is vanilla? Tell us why vanilla has gone so insane.
Because first there was bad weather that wiped out a year's crop. And then there was much, so there's less supply. But then demand grew because American companies wanted very badly for their products to be all natural. And to be all natural, they have to have natural vanilla instead of imitation vanilla. And the big drivers of that price increase were cereal companies because they use a lot of vanilla. And then now the big driver is, on top of that, that the Chinese market has fallen in love with American confections, baked goods. And so then our major flavor, just like in our savory stuff, it's pepper, salt and pepper. And in our baked goods, it's vanilla. And so now they're buying it up. And so, it's just gone so crazy. It's the only thing I talk about.
Is it good?
I don't talk about anything else. My poor friends.
Oh, well, so I want to know, I need the personal sad testimonial here about how is that affecting what you do? Because if you have to pay a dollar for a tablespoon of vanilla,
more than a dollar,
what are you going to do?
Okay, so this is what I've done so far. I've done some experimenting, and I hope it's not against the FDA, but no, just kidding. Hello, FDA. But vanilla in America is strong, and there are laws, guidelines that are laws that say that in order for something to be sold and labeled as vanilla extract in America, that it has to be made with 13.3 and a third ounces of vanilla beans per gallon of extract or of alcohol and water combined that they use. And so that's really a lot of beans. That's there's between 25 and 40 in a quarter pound. And so you're talking as many as 160 beans in a gallon. And that's just when we're making at home, that's just a lot more than we think that we need to use. And that's why our extract doesn't turn out as dark as the stuff that they sell. So my feeling is it's pretty strongly flavored. So what I did is I took my pint bottle that was missing about a sixth of its volume. And I just added cheap vodka to it because that's what it's made of, cheap vodka. And you don't want super high proof. They really don't want it to be above like 40 proof even. So don't think you're going to get better stuff if you use Everclear. You'll just wreck it. So just cheap vodka from the cheap vodka store. And so I diluted it about, one part vodka to six parts or five parts extract. Or no, I guess it was six parts. And I couldn't tell a flavor difference at all. And then I got down to, I did 1/5 and I did a quarter and I still didn't notice any flavor difference. So then you could say, why don't you just measure 3/4 of a teaspoon instead of a teaspoon? Well, there's a lot of recipes I have that even use like a tablespoon and a half. And I don't want to change the liquid. And also, I just don't want to dink around with that math. And when I'm doing that, I'm using my 1/2 teaspoon and my 1/4 teaspoon measurer, and a lot is lost on the surface area. I don't want to do that. And so it's just way easier to dilute it. So 1, no thinking. 2, none lost on the surface area. So that's what I'm doing, and I haven't had any discernible change in the flavor, I swear. And so from that, I mean, that saves 20% of the price, you know, and that's a lot anytime you can save 20% on something that's expensive.
That's
you know?
Right.
Yeah. So that's what I'm doing.
All right. And now we all know.
come to Linda's Diluted Baked Goods.
That's diluted with a T, not a D.
No, it's not.
Oh, my gosh. Well, that's a pretty nice hack, though, for... Yeah, for dealing with a problem that could make a huge difference when you're doing a gigantic fundraising bake sale.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's huge.
Yeah. Typically, I mean, we use close to a gallon for the bake sale. So if I can use 3 quarts, that's a big difference.
Yeah, it's huge.
Yeah.
Good for you, and thanks for sharing that. Now we all know. I know there are other bakers out there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
There are.
But they're busy baking.
I know. I'm going to bake something today, and I need some vanilla. So I still have some vanilla because I don't burn through it by the quart like you do. Yes. Most of us buy a bottle of vanilla, and it lasts a while. So, yeah.
Yeah, I even bought some amber glass pint bottles with good sealing lids, because somebody online who seemed like they knew what they were talking about says it's bad to store them long term in plastic.
Oh.
And so yeah.
Okay.
And then it gives me a thing to decant it into when I'm doing my law break and diluting. I think it's just law breaking if you're selling it.
That's right.
Yeah.
I don't know about distributing that information out over the airwaves. Who knows? We'll see. We'll see if there's an official waiting for us in the parking
Next
lot.
Next on Food Talk, building bombs.
Oh, God. Like B-O-M-B-E, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Spelling is everything this morning.
Yes.
Seriously.
Diluted and diluted bomb and bomb. There's a bomb in my bomb. The bomb.
Remember that movie?
Oh, my gosh. Was it the Pink Panther?
It was the Pink Panther. Just crazy.
You know, I can watch that movie with no sound, or I can lay with my back to the back of the couch away from the TV and listen to that movie. But if I got the sound on and I'm watching them, I don't get enough oxygen. I'm just laughing too hard, you know? It's detrimental to my health to watch that movie with sound.
Don't turn up the volume. Have you ever made a bomba?
No. I'm scared. Have you?
No.
And
it's because I have, you know, chronically lived in a home with two people. And what are you going to do with a bomb?
Well, and then it's just so easy to make, you know, some cake and some, I don't even know what that other stuff is, jiggly stuff, and just slap some jiggly stuff on some cake and call it dessert rather than going through all the work of making it pretty.
Jiggly stuff.
I don't know what it is.
Oh, you really
the
have to.
The jiggly stuff. The, doesn't it have gelatin in it, too?
It probably does, but I've never made one, so I don't know. Oh, we might have to get back to people on that whole bomba thing.
Oh.
Because, I mean, it would be spectacular for a big meal where you have a lot of people.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess.
No.
I don't know. I think it's really, really hard to beat some kind of pie and homemade ice cream.
I know. It seems like it's kind of something along the dessert version of aspic.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, is made up of two words.
Syllables.
Yes.
I love tomato aspic, I got to say, and it's a very old-fashioned thing that you hardly find anywhere anymore.
But I think it's the texture.
Yeah, you're not big on it?
Yeah, it's a little too jellyfish.
Do you not like Jell-O either?
No, I do like Jell-O.
Okay.
In fact, my grandmother loved Jell-O, my paternal grandmother. And when she died, her cupboards were full of Jell-O. And she was so famous for her Jell-O, but she had weird Jell-Os too, like sauerkraut. We might have talked about that once.
Yeah, I think
sauerkraut
we did.
Jell-O. And when she died, my dad sat next to the priest. And there, people brought 27 different kinds of Jell-O to her church dinner after the funeral, you know. And my dad made the priest try every one.
Oh, God. That sounds just really horrifying, I gotta say. But I do have, there in the 50s and 60s, there was, Jell-O was in vogue. And there
Jell-O
were
was king.
Tons of completely overwrought recipes of ways to deal with Jell-O, most of them queasy at best. But there was something called like perfect salad, or it paradise salad. It was some sort of salad that Jell-O salad that claimed to be heavenly on some level, and it had the chopped, it had the grated carrots and the chopped celery in it.
I remember that one.
Oh, that was so terribly bad, and it was in the lemon lime Jell-O or That was bad. Sorry, Jell-O lovers. That was really bad. That would cure you of liking Jell-O, I gotta say. Mm. Yeah.
Do you have any plans to cook anything?
Well,
anything in the offing?
I am inspired because I went through my whole cookbook library. And reorganized it because I suddenly had a lot of empty shelf space, having gotten rid of the canning jars. And I realized that there were some cookbooks I had that weren't in Eat Your Books. And I sat down and entered them. But as I was doing that, I thought, I'm going to take a cookbook and just start cooking stuff out of it.
What a good idea.
I just feel like, you know, it's winter. I have time. I don't mind if the kitchen's warm. And I just need to expand my horizons. So I'm going to just take a cookbook and go for it. That's my plan starting tonight.
And I was thinking, I don't really think I'm in a rut, but I think exactly the same thing. I think it's a good thing to just branch out, even if you're not in a rut, just to experiment, just to try some new things. There's many different times in my life where I committed to making something new every week, you know, and that was always a lot of fun. And I got a lot of good recipes out of that. And then sometimes I just kind of slide away from that, you know?
Yeah. I think we all have default settings
where
we're just not up to thinking about it.
Yeah.
Or being able to try something new requires that we have a vegetable or something that isn't on hand.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the reason we don't do it. But I'm going to go for it starting tonight. And I also need to cook some food for the Food Web board meeting tonight. So I probably will go to my default for that.
Okay.
When you have a group of people and there are food issues and likes and dislikes and stuff, you kind of just have to pick your way through whatever it is.
Yeah.
So,
do you keep stuff in your freezer? Do you have something in your freezer, like if you need to, like, quick have a dessert or quick bring something over because somebody has passed? Do you have stuff like that, stuff at the ready?
No, I mean, not really. I have ingredients in my freezer.
Yes.
And but I do have bags of your bao.
Oh, bao picker.
I guess I could, you know, if I were generous, I could contribute those to whatever the occasion was. But I have not offered to do that because I really like them.
That's something I've been thinking about. I am trying to have things that are done in my freezer that are portable, that if there's, like, that's not really an emergency, but something really fast like that.
A last minute thing where you really feel like you need to take something.
Yeah, that I have stuff ready, whether it's somebody asks you to dinner, you know, at 2 o'clock and then you have a dessert to bring, or if it's something for, you know, a passing. You want people to have food while they're bereaved. So,
yeah,
I think it's kind of taking care of your future self, you know.
Ooh,
all the different ways that we do that. But I'm not going to have a horrible day. Maybe in 2 months, I'll have this ready.
Uh-huh. I like it. And I have in the past done extra, like, meatloaf.
Mm-hmm. Boy, your meatloaf's good.
And wrap it, you know, in foil and be ready to just bake it off. I've done it two ways. I've baked it and then frozen it raw, but I really like it frozen raw better and then bake it off at the time.
Okay.
It seems more moister.
Moist?
Yeah, more moist. So, but I think it's a really good idea. I think it's tough if you have the little freezer on top of the fridge with that barely holds more than a couple of ice cube trays and a box of frozen peas, whatever it is. It's tough. But you, on the other hand, how many freezers?
Oh, my gosh. I just bought one at that downtown... Because the stationery supply store was going out of business and they had a bunch of freezers in the back. How embarrassing.
Yeah.
I don't have 10.
So obviously Linda has 9 freezers.
No.
Oh my gosh. Well, if I were making hundreds and hundreds of pies and I had to stack them up and save them for an occasion, I would have a ton of freezers too. But I have just I have a bigger freezer than just the one on top. I have the drawer kind that pulls out, but still,
those are awesome.
You can't you know what I have that I didn't tell you about, and now it's almost time to go. I have leaf lard.
Really?
And I need to thaw it out and render it down. And you and I need to do a scientific pie crust comparison and then share that with
my grandma always said that made the best pie crust on earth.
I know.
And she knew, man.